This is Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our next instalment of How to Build a Covenant Community of Believers. This is study number 6, and we'll be looking at Do Not Be Slothful in Zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal. This is taken from Romans chapter 12, first part of verse 11. You know, building a great church requires people of great commitment and zeal. For those who are called to share the burden of local church leadership, there will be plenty of occasions when it will be tempting to give up because you feel as if no one else cares like you do. It is times like these when leaders must lead with zeal, despite their feelings, despite their discouragements, and despite their lack of help. Now, leaders who do this will soon discover that it's their zeal that will be highly contagious. It will invoke others to come along the journey as well. Question 1. Note what Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says about how leaders are to lead. And Romans 12 verse 8 says this: the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So that's what that verse says. Why would Paul instruct leaders to do this? Well, it seems that if you have to be told to do it, the temptation is not to do it. So in other words, this is one of the hazards of leadership. It's one of the hazards of leadership generally, and it's especially one of the hazards of leadership within the church. This whole thing of discouragement and having the wind knocked out of you because of seemingly lack of support. So I think it was Winston Churchill who said this: the key to success is to go from failure to failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. So that sort of sums up what it means to lead with zeal. Question 2, based on John chapter 2, verse 17. How zealous was Christ for God's house, and what did it lead him to do? John 2:17 says this: his disciples remembered that it was written, and you remember this comes on the heels of when Jesus has made a whip and cast out the money changers and those people selling and profiteering from worshiping God's house. It says, the disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Well, that's what it led Christ to do. It led him to take pretty drastic measures to clean up the house of God spiritually, and that involved having a physical display of passion and zeal for God and his house. Zeal is demonstrated with passion and enthusiasm. The opposite to zeal is neglect. Now, Christ followers, should be the most zealous people on the planet when it comes to fulfilling the cause of Christ. Well, in fact, if you're a Christ follower, your zeal is going to be equated to the conviction that there is no higher cause than the cause of Christ. Question 3, what are we told indirectly to be zealous for in Hebrews 10:25, which says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what are we indirectly told to be zealous for? Well, just as Christ was zealous for his Father's house, we are told to be zealous for the house of God too, but the house of God is the gathering. It's not a building, it's a gathering. And so we are told to not neglect it. Don't take a Sunday off because you're tired or you just want to have a Sunday off. Don't do that. Don't neglect it, but be zealous for the church, for the local church, the gathering of the local church. In the book Madness, written by Jossie Chacko, he tells of being a lukewarm minister. He was invited to Northern India. Now, Jossie told them that if you can show me people who have never heard of Jesus, then I'll come over. The evangelist assured him he could. So Jossie went. He was then taken to a village with an assistant of the evangelist who asked villagers if they had ever heard of Jesus. They said, no. One man listened intently to Jossie describe Jesus as the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. He then pressed Jossie with a question. Are you saying that Jesus is the only Saviour of sins? Jossie responded, yes, I do. Then the man cried, then you're 3 months too late. Jossie was puzzled. The village man revealed, my father died 3 months ago and no one told him about Jesus. Why didn't someone come here and tell us about Jesus before my father died? The question haunted Jossie, you're 3 months too late. Today, Jossie heads an organisation called Empart, which you can find at www.empart, that's E-M-P-A-R-T.org, empart.org, which now plants two churches a day in northern India. Jossie Chacko has what we would describe as zeal for the Lord. Now, what question four, this is a question designed to get the group thinking, bit of a discussion question here. What particular things should Christians especially be zealous about? Have a think about it, have a discussion about it. Well, as Christians, we should be zealous about fairness and justice. We should also be zealous for those things which protect people and further the cause of human dignity. So medical care and end-of-life care and health care and education and things like that. Now, I know that's going to surprise some people thinking, well, that doesn't sound very churchy. But I remind people that these are the things that Christians got involved with very early on. And it's only in fairly recent times that governments have got involved with these things. And I think there's a generation that's come through now that thinks that it's that these are purely government enterprises. These are things that purely are the domain of governments. And that was never, ever, ever the case. And the Christians for a long time saw these things as expressions of the gospel. They saw these as ways of honouring Christ by caring for people. Anyway, be interesting to see where the discussion goes. What should Christians be particularly zealous about? Question five, according to Titus 2:14, which says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So according to that verse, Titus 2:14, since coming to be redeemed by Christ, what also should believers be especially zealous about? Well, we see in that verse that it says for good works. I wonder how many people regard the job that they wake up to go to on a Monday morning as worship. How many people realize that by going to their job, whether it's in a factory or whether it's in a retail store, whether it's in a restaurant, a cafe, whether it's in an office, that what you are doing is the job of an ambassador. You are serving Christ as an ambassador. And this is a part of worship. In other words, because of this, we should be doing what we do throughout our work weeks with a great deal of zeal because we are, in the very literal sense, doing it as unto the Lord. All right, so that, I think that's really, really important. Zeal adds a certain determination to accomplish something in particular, but zeal must be tempered with wisdom and knowledge. Now, note Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, which says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Question 6. What might Peter have meant in 1 Peter chapter 3:13? He says this, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And I suspect that what Peter is saying here is, if you are living in the kind of way that even the world says, this is good, you are making a valuable contribution to the welfare of our society, the welfare of our community, they're hardly going to criticize you or hinder you or consider you to be a bad person. Probably on the contrary. Question 7, if another believer told you that they'd lost their zeal and was no longer excited about God, church, or Christianity, what might you say to them to help them regain their zeal? And again, this is a discussion point. And I wonder if, you, as a group leader, you could actually pose the question very directly. You could actually say, has anyone ever felt like that? And if you did, if you have, what did someone do? Did someone help you? Did someone say something that turned it around for you? That would be, an interesting question to ask the group. What are some of the answers you could likely expect? Well, you could likely expect someone to go and spend time with that person and offer to pray. In other words, they aren't judging them. They are just rekindling the fire. They're pouring oil on the flicker of a flame and getting them back involved. That might be one of the things that rather than saying, you can actually do. What you say may be of less consequence than them actually seeing your zeal and hearing your heart and capturing by a contagion some of your zeal. But anyway, interesting group discussion. See where that goes and ask possibly that direct question. Last question, question 8. What are some ways you feed your zeal for Christ and his cause? What are some ways you feed your zeal for Christ and his cause? And hopefully people will answer the question by talking about their own devotional life, their own Bible reading, prayer time, their fellowship with others. But I hope that people will supplement that. They'll supplement that by watching teaching videos or inspirational videos or reading biographies of great Christians and great Christian leaders. These are the things that many people have found will encourage their zeal for Christ. Well, I trust this study has been a blessing. We'll be back for study number 7 in our next edition.